Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. I am so grateful and excited to have my co-host here with me all the way from the Netherlands.
Hello.
We've been kind of troubleshooting, Dr. Stella and I. So, but thank God for Zoom. Shazam.
Yes, thank God. He's amazing, right? Technology. He says, I am not going to let my voice not be heard anywhere.
Yep, exactly. So it's 9 a.m. in Colorado, and it's 5 p.m. in the Netherlands. And here we are gathering together to edge God back into life. So we are very excited to put forth another study today that comes from our own journey and what God is putting upon our hearts. And it's entitled Three Excuses That Edge God Out. Do you have any excuses that you have running as a virus in your system that edge God out of your day-to-day activities? So let's begin in prayer and see where the Holy Spirit takes us during this podcast. Dear Lord, we give you permission to slow us down. Too often, we are unwilling to edge you into our busy life, as if being busy makes us more important or purposeful. Teach us how to hear your invitation to draw near to you today. Override our agendas, to-do lists, and our pursuit to be enough, and fill them, replace them with your presence, Lord. Forgive us for every declined invitation that we've sent back to you. Forgive us for putting things above relationships with you and the people we love. We know your word does not return to you void, but accomplishes the purpose for which it's sent. If we are too busy, you will use someone else to accomplish your will on earth. Wake us up. Wake us up, dear God, to remember what we have learned during the storms of life. Lord, where else do we need to go? For in you and with you, we lack nothing. No more excuses. We choose you today. Move us and draw us closer to you today than yesterday. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
In the last podcast, podcast 23 and 24, it was actually a two-part podcast. We encourage you to explore that as well, called A Three-Step Prison Break. And it was a three-step experience and process of actually breaking out a behavior that compromises the person God is calling you to be. In today's podcast, we're going to explore three excuses that edge God out in the midst of our busyness. Too often we make up excuses daily. I was just doing this yesterday when it comes to drawing near to God throughout our day, as if busyness has become a badge for value. When I'm busy, I'm valuable. When I'm not busy, I'm not valuable. And this is similar to Martha, who was so busy that she couldn't pause and sit at the feet of Jesus as her sister Mary did. We find ourselves enmeshed with what we do rather than anchored in whose we are. Yes. The gentle presence of God whispers between each breath and each heartbeat. Yet we run around so busy, we miss out on the refreshment he continually offers us throughout the day. Mm-hmm. What it's not all, it's the response that I'll often have is, what? It's not all about me? What I think, what I want, what I need? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, sister?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think that a while back, I remember a minister, attending a service, and I'm like, God, how is Satan going to get into our lives, you know? And he mentioned that the biggest thing he does is to keep us busy so we don't have time for the Word of God. And that's how he's going to build his kingdom. You know, it's keeping us too busy, so we edge him out, and then we forget, you know, or we're not teaching others. And so this is huge, and the excuses we make are becoming the norm.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it's also becoming, I don't know if you've ever said this phrase, but, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm just so busy, but it's a good busy. You know, yes. What is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A good busy that I can't call call people back. We're not talking about, you know, healthy boundaries and productivity. That's a different Bible study. Just simply the busyness that edges God out. So I'm going to share with listeners this morning, with you guys who are listening and tuning in, just a modern day parable that just kind of comes from my own life experience. And it's something that I heard part of a similar parable when I was back in college. It really stuck with me. Visualization is just a huge archway that we can use for reflective and meditative prayer with the Lord. So come with me on this. If you're in a position to be able to just close your eyes and tune into this and create a visual as I read through this modern day parable. Come and sit with me by the warm fire and refresh your soul. The Lord beckoned me as I ran down the stairs of my house and out the door, being busy, proving to the world that I was enough, that I am enough. As the door was closing, I yelled over my shoulder, "Tomorrow I'll sit with you." Day after day, the invitation was extended, and day after day, I continually ran out the door early in the morning, being busy proving my worth to the world, until one day when I received news from the doctor that I would be fighting for my life and may have a short time to live. The next morning, I slowly made my way down the stairs. Sheepishly, I stumbled toward the warm fire and collapsed at the feet of the Lord, like so many of the people that encountered Jesus did. We sat for a while in silence as I felt the weight of the world disappear. And then, with profound compassion and love in his eyes, he posed a simple question. "My beautiful child, what have you learned? What have you learned?" Through my tears, I replied, "Lord, I learned that when I come to the end of myself, it is then that I encounter you. And in this sacred space, I lack nothing." And that is a modern day parable that perhaps you can mix a little bit of your story with. Perhaps you're running out, proving your worth to the world. This is a powerful invitation for reflection for us today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So as we read in James 4:8, this is an important piece to know. And just like that parable was talking about, Jesus is always present. God engulfs us. As Mother Teresa said, we're like a fish swimming through water. Wherever we swim, we're engulfed by God, regardless of our awareness. And as we slow down and pause and step away from our busyness, proving our worth and value to the world, that's when we have the gap to draw near to God. And in James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." We're going to spend the rest of today's Edge God In Bible study just in reflection of three excuses taken from the reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 14, 15 through 24. If you've got your Bibles, pull them out. I'm a big proponent in holding it in your hand, holding the Word of God in your hand.
Amen.
That's your marker, mark it up, let it sink in, let it drop in. Similar to when you're sucking on one of those Werther's candies or one of those good candies. It's just a slow experience of letting it drip into your soul. So Luke 14, 15 through 25. Dr. Stella, why don't you, do you want me to read that? And then we'll kind of pull out from that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read it. Okay. It's interesting that you mentioned you started off with Luke, because I am in the book of Luke and I had not planned that. God definitely wants us to talk about Luke today.
Yeah.
So go ahead and read through it,
sure.
And then I will
pause.
Comment. Yes, I'll pause.
Okay, cool. So Luke 14, 15 through 25, if you open up your Bibles, it actually the verses that we're going to reference begin at I'll start at 15. "When one of those who was reclined at the table with him Jesus heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat the bread of the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man," he began to jump into this parable. Love this parable. Perhaps you'd like to pause for a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit, what is in this for me? What is in this parable that I can pull out, reflect upon, and integrate into my life that will literally have a positive impact on my life experience and behavior? Jesus said to him, "A man was once giving a great supper and invited many people. And at the hour of for the supper, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for all is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses and to beg off. The first said to him," here's the excuse. Excuse to edge got out, and we'll come back to it. "The first one said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land and I have to go out and see it. I beg you, have me excused.' Second excuse, another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to examine and put my approval on them. I beg you, have me excused.' Third excuse, another said, 'I have married a wife and because of this, I'm unable to come.' So the servant came and reported these answers to the master. Then the master of the house said in wrath to his servant, 'Go quickly into the streets and the small streets of the city and bring in here the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded me to do is done, and yet there's still more room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and urge and constrain and constrain them, yield them, invite them to come into the house, to fill the house. For I tell you, not one of those who were invited shall taste my supper.'" This short parable offers 3 excuses worthy of our examination. The first one has to do with non-living things. The first excuse is, "I bought a piece of land." So how does that show up in practical life? What does that look like? What's your piece of land that you've bought, that you're plowing? And has it become an excuse for spending time with the Lord and truly giving him the first fruits of your time, your energy, and your talent? That's an interesting one to reflect upon, because we all have our own piece of land. Similar to Tolkien's work in Lord of the Rings, he created Gollum. And there's actually an Edge God In Bible study that brings in Gollum. And it talks about your precious. Mm-hmm. What is your precious? Your ring that you are gripping a hold of in the cave of life. That you have, Gollum actually means the unmanned. The man who's lost himself in the fetish. So where have you lost yourself? In non-living things and material things.
Yeah, it's, as I reflect on this, I think a lot about leaving the country and going to a country where, and I don't even say the country, I would say leaving a city in the States like California, and coming to a place like the Netherlands that actually values not having things be a focus. And here's what I mean. Here's my observation, which has been eye-opening for me. When we buy a car, a designer car, be it a BMW, a Mercedes, or a Porsche, whatever we buy, we buy it not for ourselves so much as what others will think of us. Mm. When people buy things here, they buy things because they seem to want it. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't an element of people that worship things and use things, but what I've seen is people rarely even bring it up. It's like, I bought it because I want it. And I notice that the judgment that people have is not reflective in their actions towards you, whether you're in a Volkswagen Beetle or a BMW. Now, that's in the town that I'm in. I'm sure if I go to Amsterdam or some of the bigger cities, that may not be the case, or the Hollywood of, which I was in, the Hollywood of California, you know. But it's interesting that our focus on things prevents us from doing the right thing. And it also,
that's interesting.
It has us lose focus of what is really important, because really the important thing about things is that we were able to have what we wanted, not what others perceive us to be based on those things.
That's powerful.
Really eye-opening. I think that in the biblical sense, you know, focusing on these things, which none of this stuff, all this stuff doesn't belong to us anyway. We're just renting it. Mm-hmm. We say we own a home, we own a car, it's my children. None of this is ours. God just gave it to us, and we're borrowing it while we're here on earth. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm. All these things really don't mean anything, because what is important is that the things he gives us, we honor and adore, because God gave our children, our life, our health, our wealth, if we have it. That's what's important, because God gave it to us, not for show for other people. And not to use this as an obstacle to be with others. So that's what came to mind when I thought about this whole non-living things. Mm-hmm. It's so real to me.
It's a powerful reflection, and God is continually sifting my soul. So I invite listeners today to truly just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I give you permission to sift my soul. Mm-hmm. What are my rings? Is it power, yes, possession, popularity? What is it for me?
Yes.
Positionality, the need to be right, liked, understood. These are non-living things. These are positionalities, mm-hmm, that literally edge God out and drown out the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Your choice of time being busy, what you're choosing to focus on in your time, is it drawing you closer to God? Does it draw other people closer to God? How do you go about your simple tasks in life? Do you have the same joy when you're cleaning a toilet, when you're getting gas, when you're changing sheets? Mm-hmm. Just the mundane tasks that give incredible invitation to practice presence with the Lord and be unattached to the actual doing and expand the being, the person you are, whose you are, while you do what you do. So let's look at the second excuse, which is living things. This is living things. In Luke 14:19, the other excuse had, he had oxen. He had 5 yoke of oxen. Makes sense, right? He needs to take care of his oxen. Sorry, I can't draw near to you, God. So that's basically, you know, God's inviting you to the banquet every day. Come closer. Come to my banquet. No, sorry, God. I'm just too busy being important. And the living things are anything that we feel responsible for. And this is something in my life where God's really sifted my mind, because I have been busy being busy with tasks that sometimes I'll put in the bucket of like, oh, well, God understands this because I'm busy writing something up for another human being that's going to be beneficial for them. So I didn't have time to spend sitting at the feet of the Lord this morning because I'm busy out there making a difference in people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. So at first you might say, well, hey, that's a worthy cause. That's a worthy cause to be busy. And yet, from God's perspective, that's marthering it. We should make a t-shirt, you know, stop marthering it, marthering it in the world, you know, just putting the task. And even if it's taking care of other people, there is, in my book, 99 Things You Want to Know Before Stressing Out, I speak about two things. One in particular applies to this, and that's the disease to please. When your disease to please is attached to your sense of value and identity, then it becomes a ring, like Gollum in the cave, an attachment, meaning that I feel that I have worth and value when I'm able to have a positive influence on somebody else. If I don't, if I'm not able to help another person, then my value drops and I lose my sense of joy and peace. That is an invitation for reflection, because it means you've spilled out of yourself to the task, even if it's helping another human being. So reflect upon this and ask the Holy Spirit, where am I being busy making a difference in other people's lives or taking care of living things that are actually edging God out of my life and making me less productive for the Lord? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think what happens in those situations, you start thinking that you are the healer.
There you go.
You are the person that is responsible for this great success these people are feeling and living. But in actuality, you are a vehicle for the God that's doing this through you. Mm-hmm. But that ego comes in and it's like, okay, look at what I've done. So I have to do more of this. Well, in reality, you haven't done anything. He's done it. But we forget that because we get so caught up. And then what happens is we get busy because we start hearing accolades and people are like, oh my God, you're doing such a great job. Thank God for you, Estella and Lauren. Oh my God. And then you just kind of, okay, it's me and more of me. And then what happens is you forget God and it's not you. Because if you don't stay in the Word, if you don't stay in God, you will lose, first of all, faith. You won't find satisfaction. It's only temporary. And you also will lose some of your abilities to do great things.
Well said. Well said, sister. That's so true. That's such a great high reflection on just simply, where are you giving your identity to? We forget whose we are. And we allow the service of other people and building up other people, that becomes our source of identity instead of Christ. So definitely pause, reflect on Luke 14:19, ask the Holy Spirit, where am I putting service to the point where my identity is caught up in it and I lose my conviction to sit at your feet? The third excuse is relationships. Luke 14:21. Hey, I just got married. Of course you can understand that. Again, this is kind of pulling in what we were just speaking about, but it's more specifically relationships. I've seen it just over the decade of being blessed with the opportunity to work with people. Part of the coaching is relationships, effective relationships, and how your identity can get quickly robbed. It's identity theft in your relationships. You forget whose you are quickly, whether or not you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're married, whatever space you're in relationship, it's very easy to put the relationship above God or to allow the relationship to compromise your convictions in God, particularly if you find yourself in relationships or surrounded with people where their conviction to put God first in their lives is non-existent. So surround yourself with people that make you a better person in Christ. That's important to have your A team. So again, as you're reflecting on Luke 14:15-24, what does the Holy Spirit reveal to you? Specifically pause and lean into that. Lean into this learning. And do you see yourself in one of these characters? The three characters that made up excuses. Are you busy with things? Busy out there building your service of other people and being an influencer? And that's lost your identity and edged God out? Or perhaps it's a relationship. So reflect and pause and know that God is whispering to us and inviting us to draw near to him. As James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Remain in him, just like the branch, like the deer quenching its thirst in the cool river. Yet because of identity theft, that often occurs as we drive ourselves to exhaustion. We often miss out on the cool river because of a busy pursuit for power, possessions, popularity, and position. We decline his invitation to draw near, too busy to sit at his feet and refresh, and to sit and embrace the one thing that Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. Yet he has a lot of compassion on Martha. He said her name twice, which is a very compassionate salutation. Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. Only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. So the one who calls us to this mission of remaining and pausing as we rush around proving our worth, value, and capability to the world is faithful. He's coming for us. This is something that God continually, the other day I was rushing around from one thing to the next, and you know, I even rushed through my quiet time with the Lord, and Jesus just crashed my scene and said, "What are you doing? Where are you going? Like, what are you so busy about? There's no room to even pause and have a conversation and keep that divine dialogue going throughout the day."
Yeah, so I can relate so much with that, with this whole move and,
sure,
and being uprooted. You know, I haven't spent the time I needed to with God. And I'm so thankful for the Bible study today to be grounded, because although I'm in a really good place, finding those biblically connected people, it's not here. So I encourage you when it says relationships, you know, being evenly yoked and being with people that stay in the word, you know, I've got to do more to reach out to people that I know do that, like Lauren and other people, even in the midst of being far away, because it's so important to stay with people that are like you, or identify and find those people.
Yeah, go find your peeps.
Go find my peeps, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. And remember in the midst of it that the Lord is with you right where you're at.
Yes.
He's the hound from heaven. He literally seeks out and finds us, just like he did the other day when he gently said to me, "What are you doing? What are you so busy doing?" And it literally stopped me in my tracks. It was such a clear, divine upload. And I was like, whoa, I actually laughed out loud. I'm like, nothing.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me.
I'm not doing anything if it's not in you, Lord. I'm not doing anything if it's not in you and for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Solomon, right? The book of Solomon and all his glory. You know, what does it mean? You know, he had it all and he's like, what does it mean?
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean?
What does this come to? One of my favorite verses is the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So reflect on these and simply ask, allow the Lord to pull you close, to draw you near. Instead of rushing out your front door of your interior castle, sit with the Lord. Lean into him. Just like the Apostle John did. He leaned on the breast of the Lord. Lean into the Lord. Lean your entire personality and allow him, through your humility and obedience, to respond to his invitation. Draw near. Draw near. Pride and disobedience edge God out. We launched Edge God Out, or Edge God In, in response to all the edging God out that we were doing in our lives as professional businesswomen. And so God is calling us back to edge him back in. So we invite you during this reflection part. We learned about the scripture. The next phase is to reflect. Reflect on the three excuses again and described by Luke, and notice any similarities or differences in your own excuses when it comes to attending the Lord's invitation to draw near to your life. Now we move to identifying and adjusting. And this is the part where you're actually identifying something in your life. Perhaps it's a non-living thing, a living thing, or relationships. And just simply ask yourself the questions that are in the PDF that go along with this podcast. I'll just throw a few of them out for your reflection, for those of you who are listening. The first one is, why did the people in the alleys and the streets say yes to the invitation to enter the banquet? Why do you think they said yes? There was no pushback. And when do you say yes? When do you say yes?
Yeah, this reminds me of being of gratitude, right? Being gracious for an invitation. And so many times we get invitations and we don't think of being gracious to the invitation. We think about, again,
I'm so busy.
Non-living things. Things. Relationships.
I'm busy being important.
We're thinking, oh my God, I don't think I have time for this. Let me see my non-living thing. Okay. The gas. Yep. But, you know, the time it takes to get there. The living things. Oh my God, I got to do this for my kids. My relationships. Oh, well, they'll be okay even if I don't do it. So right. It just reminds me of this banquet, reminds me of being gracious and have gratitude for the invitation. Mm.
Yeah, it's very true. And even with this question, when I was asking myself this, why did the people in the alleys and the streets say yes to the invitation to enter the banquet? And what pulled them out from the three excuses made by the other three groups, right? Mm-hmm. And I reflected, that's why I wrote that modern day parable of when I was rushing around being important, proving my worth and value to the world until I was hit with the cancer in 2006 and told I had, 50% chance of survival. And then it got a little worse as they found more cancer and they were trying to get me 5 years at 38 years old when my kids were 8, 10, and 12. Stopped me in my tracks because I was busy, being important until I came to facing death. And it's in the dark night of the soul when I came to the end of myself that I realized, oh my gosh, it takes so much energy to be me. What am I doing? And as I just shared just the other day, I was out there busy being important again. And God's like, what are you doing? Don't forget what you learned. So I put that out to listeners today. Where are you going? What are you so busy doing? And reflect upon the character traits that you imagine the poor, the crippled, the lame possessed that fueled the yes to the Lord's invitation. What did they have? There was no lag time. One of my daily prayers is, dear God, help there to be less lag time today than yesterday and my ability to hear and respond to the voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Yes. They didn't have any lag time or pushback. So how specifically do you relate to them? What do they have to teach you today? The crippled, the lame that entered the banquet without any pushback. And what commonalities do you imagine the landowner, the oxen owner, and the recently married man have in common? And how do you relate to them? How does pride lead to excuses that block your ability to respond to the Lord's invitation to draw near? Where does that show up? A lot of times it disguises itself in fear, doubt, and worry. I'm not enough, not enoughness. I've got to do this to prove to the world that I'm enough. Really? What's that about? What does that mean? What do you get from that? These are all questions that literally the Lord poses to me as I'm out there trying to prove my worth, and he crashes my self-focused party. So when the Lord invited you to his banquet, when was the last time, this is a worthy question. When was the last time the Lord invited you close to him, to his banquet, and you were too busy to attend? Just take a moment and just reflect on the last couple of weeks. When was the last time God was calling you close and you rushed out the front door of your castle, out your drawbridge into the world, instead of pausing and leaning into that invitation? And when have you been willing to draw near to God? When have you been unwilling? These are just reflection questions that give you the opportunity to identify behavior that does not support your intimacy with the Lord and causes you to edge God out. And it also gives you the opportunity to adjust. God is very compassionate, just as he was with Martha. He was basically reminding her, hey, Martha, Mary has chosen what is better. What is better here? So as we come to the end of today's Edge God In podcast, we kind of flip back to the main title, which is Three Excuses That Edge God Out. There are several journal reflections for the maintain part. We learned about the parable. We reflected upon the parable and how it relates to us and which character we identify most with. We reflected on several questions to identify specific areas in our lives where we are edging God out and refusing the invitation from the Lord to draw near. And there are several journal reflections in the PDF that goes along with this podcast. We encourage you to print that out at edgegotin.com. under podcast 25, Three Excuses That Edge Got Out. One of the questions is how specifically is the Lord inviting you into his banquet today? How specifically is he inviting you closer? What would that look like, feel like, and sound like to you? The Lord has an invitation for you specifically today to come closer. Draw near to me. And just reflecting upon that question, notice any areas of pride or disobedience. Notice what comes up quickly. Many times when we pose those questions, we'll instantly feel the overwhelm. I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm busy, busy, busy going nowhere.
I think a good thing to do is also reflect on what is it, and it's probably repeated things that are preventing you from that going to that banquet. Mm. You know, and back to the three sources of those things. Is it a non-living thing? Is it a living thing? Is it a relationship? What is not letting you say no to the banquet? Mm-hmm. Because I could probably think of the same things that are causing me to say no or not hear it, the invitation.
Absolutely. I mean, and daily I could pick things out. So again, if you're listening in today, invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to override me. Override me when I lose myself in busyness, trying to prove my worth and value, or just even whatever the position is that I'm in, the value of being a good mom. I'm so busy being a good mom. How is that edging God out of your life versus edging God in? How is that modeling to your kids what it looks like to fellowship with the Lord throughout the day, to slow down and pause? We've become more and more busy. And like you said, Dr. Stella, that is just a great reflection that you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, that's Satan's greatest tool is busyness. Because when you're busy, you don't have time to sit at the Lord's feet. I was just reflecting on all the verses in the Bible where people were sitting at the Lord's feet. They came and sat at his feet, threw themselves at his feet, from people that were healed from evil spirits to people that had been delivered from a life of sin. They threw themselves at the Lord's feet. So what today is preventing you from throwing yourself at the Lord's feet? What are you so busy doing? Is it producing good fruit? Does it draw you closer to a surrendered life in Christ? Does your being busy inspire obedience and humility in your life? Give you the opportunity to know that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, to trust God and do good, remain in the vine and give glory to God, that it's in trust and quietness that we resurrect our strength, as we're told in the Old Testament. This is just a worthy reflection, you people out there, including myself.
Including me.
Including and myself.
And he without sin cast the first stone.
Exactly.
So, we're all in this together. Don't think that Sister Lord and I are telling. We're telling about what we need to do too. This is helping all of us because we're all reaching the same goal.
Absolutely. This is anything that comes through Edge God in is coming from our own journey. God is convicting our hearts because we are out there busy being important. And the Lord says, what are you doing? Where are you going? And how does this glorify me? Because at the sunset of this life, we will not ask what we've done, how much we own, how much we have, what we've accumulated in terms of power and possession and positionality. He will ask, how well did you love? How well did you surrender your life to me, so that I could use you to spread the seeds of my hope and love in the world? Because the only thing that counts in the end is faith expressing itself through life. Mm-hmm. So it's a worthy contemplation. What are you busy doing? And how is it edging God in or edging God out of your life? And that brings us to the end of today's podcast. And Dr. Stella, you want to close us in prayer? And we'll get busy being unbusy.
All right. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this word today. Thank you for inspiring us to create this message, Lord. And letting us sit back and think about what we're doing. What fruits are we producing? What do we need to do in life to surrender to be closer to you, Jesus Christ? give us the opportunity, Laura, to know that you are what counts, and being with you is what produces the best seed there is, Lord. So give us the opportunity to realize that we need to stop and pause and get rid of those excuses that edge God out, and put more into edging you in daily through your word, through others. More of you and less of other things, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So enjoy edging God into your life today. We look forward to our next podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out the other podcasts at edgegodin.com. We are all about maximizing human potential in Christ. Enjoy your gift of life today, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you all.